Fires, and we start there with a flock of seagulls on the theme, and the more you live, the more you learn. 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now, one of the consequences of Brexit, when it happens at the end of the year, will be the end of the traditional booze cruise. My dad used to love that. So go to Calais and load the car up with booze and bring it back and have a meal out in Calais while they were there. Once the Brexit transition period ends on the 31st of December, there'll be much tighter limits on the amount of alcohol and tobacco people can bring back into the UK from EU countries. Now, the British government has said, under the new rules, you will only be allowed to bring into the UK from the UK 42 litres of beer. That's enough to keep you going for a few days. 18 litres or 24 standard bottles of still wine, 4 litres of spirits or 9 litres, 12 bottles of sparkling wine, fortified wine or any alcoholic beverage less than 22% alcohol by volume. There'll also be limits on the amount of tobacco you can bring into the UK, 200 cigarettes or 100 cigarillos or 50 cigars or 250 grams of tobacco or 200 sticks of tobacco for heating or any proportional combination of the above. Now, not just booze and tobacco that will be subject to limits, there will also be a monetary limit on all other goods bought abroad that are being imported into the UK. So if you intend to hit the designer boutiques in Paris, you should limit your purchases. Now, the value will be £390 on goods other than alcohol and tobacco. Well, that's not entirely clear how it will be enforced, especially if you happen to be wearing it at the time. Supermarkets in the Calais area for years done a roaring trade from British visitors, but there's more bad news as well. People travelling by private jets or private boats, their limit for the value of goods is lower, it's £270. If you exceed the limits, you'll have to pay imports duty on your entire haul, not just the difference between the limits and what you have. But people buying alcohol or tobacco in the UK to bring into the EU, I'm not quite sure why you'd want to do that, but you'll no longer need to pay duty. But it is good news if you want to import your favourite British beer, West Country cider or Kentish sparkling wine into France, as long as you're intending not to sell it on. Do you think there'd be many takers in France for Kentish sparkling wine?
You never know, you never know.
The UK government says, as a result of these changes, alcohol purchase duty-free on the way to the EU could be up to £2.23 cheaper for a bottle of wine, £2.86 cheaper for a bottle of champagne or Prosecco, £2.28 cheaper for six cans of 4% alcohol by volume beer, or £11.50 cheaper for a 1 litre bottle of 40% alcohol by volume spirits. Roll up, roll up, roll up. Time to climb on board the Sarah Lycett's time machine again.
Yes, we're going back to 1983. It was a year in the UK when the Danes raid British fishing grounds. The British drivers were ordered to belt up, and BBC wakes up to morning television. And it was also the year that the first Now album was released.
Clunk, click every trip.
So the first question is that on this day in 1983, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson started a 6-week run at number one in the US singles chart with which track?
The Girl Is Mine.
No.
Say, Say, Say.
Correct. Yeah. Question number two, the top-selling songs of 1983 for the whole year. In at number four was Total Eclipse of the Heart, Bonnie Tyler. Number four, Let's Dance, David Bowie. Number three, Red Red Wine, UB40. Number two, Uptown Girl and Billy Joel. But which Cult Club track was the top-selling single of 1983?
Karma Chameleon.
Well done. And finally, you'll get these, it's easy. The final question. The Flying Pickets had a Christmas number one hit in 1983, you. Yes, which was a cover version of...
Yazoo track.
Well done. Congratulations.
Who were in Yazoo?
Yazoo were in Yazoo.
No, who... which two people...
I'm not in a zoo, are you in a zoo?
Should be. No, which two people were in Yazoo?
I don't know.
Alison Moyet?
Really?
Yeah.
All cried out.
And Vince Clarke.
Ah, OK.
Who later went on to go on and be an arranger with Andy Bell.
Ah.
And before that, he was in Depeche Mode.
You walking jukebox, you.
Only you.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning.
Or should I say bonjour?
Bonjour. Well, we shall see, we shall see. I think more interest was in the food yesterday than in the progress that was made. And perhaps it was all seen as rather symbolic, the turbot and the scallops, of course, highlighting the differences over fishing. And pavlova apparently is an Australian dessert, so perhaps suggesting that we're moving towards that type of scenario playing out.
One wag in the newspaper this morning said it was very similar to Eton Mess. I came up with a few of my own menus for last night's dinner.
Did you? Well,
yeah. Irish sea clams, followed by stew, and half-baked Alaska.
Half-baked, that's the one, isn't it?
What about kippers, gammon with the rind on and crumble?
Oh. How long have you been spending on these?
Not long, it just came to me all of a sudden, you know.
And you had some thoughts on Boris Johnson's attire?
Well, I mean, you just
look
at...
Do you think he's displaying the best of British fashion?
I don't think it was a terribly good advertisement for British fashion. I mean, you look at the East Side, they're all sort of slim and stylish, and then David Frost and Boris Johnson, crumpled suits, open jacket, a tie not even coming down to his waistband, you know, what's going on?
We've been in the bear pit, battling it out all day, you see? We've got time to preen ourselves.
Right, well, before we get on to the markets, so we are a bit short of time this morning, are you saying now deal or no deal?
Well, deal, no deal's possible. Extension, you know, some debate about a third way. I don't know how much appetite there would be for a third way. So listen, it's going to come down to the wire. I've been saying that for some time. It feels negative. It's always darkest before the dawn, as they say. So it's still certainly possible to overcome these. But we do know that companies are reacting. They've been stockpiling on fears that disruption to supply chains could start to grow. And we should remember, beyond Brexit, symbolically perhaps important for the UK, certainly lesser extent to Europe, but for international investors, globally diversified portfolio has very, very little impact. So, yes, maybe for elements of the debate around Brexit and what it means in terms of sovereignty and all those types of things is important. Economically, it's certainly, from an investment perspective, not so dramatic.
Can you see any sign of pressure on UK gilts after Brexit, Hank?
Not necessarily so. I mean, what you see with the, of course, gilts is the fact that measures put in place by the Bank of England, the aggressive quantitative easing programme, it's at now £895 billion worth, has encouraged investors that there'll be plenty of demand for the supply that's been coming through. So will the UK become less investable after Brexit? Probably not.
Right, so interesting sideshow to this is sort of the Americans slapping down Britain's offer of scrapping tariffs on the aerospace imports.
Well, alongside, of course, those negotiations with the European Union, Britain also seeking to move beyond that to think about how it's going to interact in the global economy with this newfound freedom and hopes that they can go to some large economies, they can go to some fast-growing parts of the world and take advantage of this sort of greater flexibility as they become more nimble to strike their own trade agreements. But the truth is, these take years in the making, quite frankly. So inevitably, I think what we'll find is, yes, there's some positive sounds, but the truth is there will be a shortfall if Britain fails to reach an agreement with the European Union while it tries to take advantage elsewhere.
Yeah, the point being this, I mean, by sort of scrapping those tariffs, it was hoping to sort of entice Washington to a trade deal, but the United States saying that Britain has no right to impose tariffs anyway because it was only part of that agreement once it was a member of the EU.
Yeah, correct. So all these things start to unwind and they start to muddy the waters and coming to a conclusive trade agreement with a new administration in the United States will clearly take time.
Okay, markets, investors taking a bit of a breather yesterday.
Yeah, markets reacting actually to that political uncertainty, be it Brexit, be it the fading hopes of a stimulus deal before the end of this year in the United States, regulatory pressure on the technology sector, and also some grim virus data. I mean, you can't get too far away from that. The US reporting a record number of deaths yesterday, I think it was 3,000. So shows you there are a range of pressures that can influence markets, at least in the short term, certainly before we get to that brighter vaccine horizon. So we did see the S&P 500 down 0.8% yesterday. NASDAQ was down 2%, significant move there. Looking at a mixed start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 12 points. DAX over in Frankfurt flat. CAC currently Paris up 9 points.
Okay, and Facebook, is it the end as we know it for Facebook in its current form?
Way too early to say that, and if you look at the market reactions, they certainly don't believe that. Facebook, as we know, being sued by US antitrust officials and a coalition of states that want to break up the company by unwinding its acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp. The government alleging that part of the acquisitions was a campaign to illegally crush competition. Federal Trade Commission state attorneys saying they would file antitrust complaints against Facebook, alleging conduct that thwarted competition from rivals to protect its monopoly. You could argue the case represents the biggest regulatory attack against Facebook in its company's history, and perhaps the most significant antitrust cases being filed in the United States in decades. Alongside this, of course, you've got the Justice Department that filed action against Google back in October. So market reaction, well, less dramatic than the headlines. Facebook shares fell 2.4%. Really, the profile of this case will be determined by the Biden administration and who they decide to lead the FTC and, of course, the Justice Department.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.33 today. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. €1.10 for your British pound. Watch out for the European Central Bank, expected to extend its bond buying programme by €500 billion.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Have a good day.
Hegpots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 40-year-old man has been placed in police custody in Nice for manslaughter. On Wednesday evening, the Nice Public Prosecutor's Office confirmed that the arrest was in connection with the death of 24-year-old Alexandra a week ago. The investigation suggests that the death was caused by a large amount of GBL. An autopsy is still to determine more precisely the cause of death. In other news, the mayor of Nice, Chris Nostrosi, has announced that €2 million has now been raised to help in reconstruction works after Storm Alex. In total, nearly €530,000 in cash donations and just over €1.4 million of in-kind donations were collected from more than 500 donors. The mayor added that he'd like to thank the collective Les Weekends Solidaires, an initiative that brings together hundreds of volunteers in the valleys to help victims of the storm. His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco has attended a ceremony at the Maison de France in memory of the former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, who died on December the 2nd. During Wednesday's ceremony, a minute of silence was observed. And meanwhile, in France, a day of national mourning was held in memory of the former president. Some of the famous blue chairs have returned to the seafront in Nice. The chairs were completely removed last month in the fight against the virus, and a reduced number are now back in place, with every other seat being cordoned off for social distancing. With the end of lockdown scheduled for December the 15th, the figures for the coronavirus epidemic have not yet reached the target announced by French President Emmanuel Macron. Following the meeting with the Defence Council on Wednesday, there's speculation as to what will be the next stage announced today at 6pm by the Prime Minister Jean Castex. One possibility, which is reported to be the most likely option, is that the lockdown will be lifted, but a curfew from 7pm will be introduced and theatres, cinemas and museums will remain closed. The Prime Minister is also expected to announce the situation for ski resorts, which on Wednesday was presented to the highest court in France, the State Council. Ahead of the Prime Minister's press conference on the health situation, Benjamin Davido, an infectious disease specialist in a Paris hospital, has called for Jean Castex to be clear with the French, adding that he must say that, unfortunately, we did not achieve the goal we had set. Meanwhile, a poll published by eLab has shown that as wariness sets in despite the hope of a vaccine, the trust in the head of state from the French has dropped by 12 points over the last 2 weeks, with only 36% of French trusting the government to fight effectively against COVID-19. French Prime Minister Jean Castex has announced details of a controversial anti-separatism bill, which the government presented to the Council of Ministers on Wednesday. The bill contains a large range of measures, including increased control over associations and places of worship, restrictions on home education, and measures to control online hate speech. The French Catholic Church has suffered a large fall in income because of the pandemic. In its annual financial report presented on Wednesday, the church said that there had been a net loss estimated at €90 million caused by the fall or partial closure of places of worship as a result of coronavirus restrictions. Finally, an EFOP poll published on Wednesday has revealed that the sex life of the French has improved compared to the first lockdown. Figures showed that 70% of French people had sex in November, 14 points more compared to the first lockdown. Three quarters of French people say that the second confinement went better with their spouse than that of last spring. Likewise, more French people claim to have had sex in autumn, partly thanks to working remotely and the absence of children at home.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, the former Italian World Cup winner Paolo Rossi has died after a long illness at the age of 64. Rossi led the Italian side to victory in the 1982 World Cup and was the top scorer of the tournament in Spain, including a hat-trick that eliminated the favourites Brazil. The cause of death has not been revealed, but Italian media reports he'd been ill for some time. In the European Champions League last night, Manchester United beat Marseille 3-0 in their final group game, while Liverpool drew 1-1 at FC Midtjylland, taking a foot off the gas.
It's okay.
You won the group, so give the boys a break.
Exactly.
That's it. Real Madrid completed a nervy group phase with a 2-0 win over Borussia Mönchengladbach, which takes them through to the knockout phase. Here's more from BBC Sport.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. There was a record for Liverpool's Mohamed Salah in their European Champions League match with Midtjylland in Denmark. Liverpool, who'd already secured top spot in their group, drew 1-1 with the Danish side, with Salah scoring after just 55 seconds. It was the quickest goal the team had scored in the Champions League, and Salah's strike was his 22nd in the competition, surpassing club legend Steven Gerrard. Manchester City, who'd also won their group ahead of Wednesday's match, were 3-0 winners at home to Marseille, with Sergio Aguero scoring on his return to the side. The Europa League continues on Thursday, with Tottenham already through to the knockout stage, ending their group campaign at home to Royal Antwerp, with the result determining which of those two sides finished top of Group J. Spurs manager Jose Mourinho suggests that his former club, Manchester United, dropping out of the Champions League and into the Europa League will make it harder for Spurs and everyone else to win it.
Now Manchester United become one of the top favourites to win the competition. The teams that drop from the Champions League are always strong teams, are teams that normally they don't belong to that level of the Europa League competition.
Arsenal, already confirmed as Group B winners, are away to Dundalk. Leicester City, already through but trying to win Group G, hosts bottom of the table AEK Athens. The Leicester manager, Brendan Rodgers, says he has to balance aiming for top spot against protecting his players from fatigue and injury.
We want to go on now and finish in first place, but the idea is still the same. We'll pick a side. We have to bear in mind, like you say, you know, we game on Sunday, then a game in the midweek, the following Sunday, and then it's, you know, all the games come thick and fast. So winning the game, tactics, player welfare, fitness, all of that all comes into your thinking whenever you're picking the team.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Other games tonight, Rangers visit Lech Poznan in Group D, while Celtic, who are out, host Lille. Nice, who also out, are away at Hapoel Be'er Sheva. In the English Championship last night, Preston beat Middlesbrough 3-0, Barnsley 2-1 winners over Wycombe Wanderers, Brentford and Derby drew 0-0, Bristol City beat Blackburn 1-0, Norwich were 2-1 winners over Nottingham Forest, and Reading lost 2-1 at home to Birmingham. Norwich top after 17 games on 34 points, Bournemouth on 31, Watford, Swansea, Reading and Bristol City all on 30. Cricket, Australia opener David Warner has been ruled out of the first test against India with a torn abductor muscle in his groin. Warner picks up the injury in the one-day international on the 30th of November, but he could be fit in time for the second test. The first test between Australia and India starts on the 17th of December. Rugby union, the former England internationals Lewis Moody and Ben Kay say that limiting contact in training should be introduced while research into a possible link between brain injuries and rugby is conducted. The two have spoken out after it was revealed their former teammate Steve Thompson has been diagnosed with early onset dementia, which he says is the result of sustaining heavy blows to the head during his career. Moody says there's been a lazy attitude towards concussion because of a lack of knowledge and research, while Kay said that much more needed to be done. And in boxing, promoter Eddie Hearn says that he's as close to 100% certain that Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury will face each other in 2021 if Joshua comes through his title defence against Kubrat Pulev on Saturday night in London. Joshua will defend his belts, and if he comes through, it will open the way for a heavyweight unification fight against Fury, the first time that all titles will be contested. Fury had been due to fight this month, but he now says he won't get into the ring again until 2021. Definitely pay money to see that one. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Seam and the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,002 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,001 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, rain force 3 to 5 northeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse 1,002 millibars, and the outlook for Friday, rain, force 3 to 5, southerly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Not too bad today, partially cloudy with light variable winds, top temperature 12 degrees, overnight lows 6 degrees on the coast, 2 degrees inland with some ground frost in places and clear skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, overcast with rain for much of tomorrow, partially cloudy on Saturday, highs of 10 to 12 degrees. Finally.
New Year's resolutions, apparently it's all the way you phrase them. How we phrase New Year's resolutions is a key to determining whether or not the start of the year promise will be kept or not. In a new study, scientists found that people are 12% more likely to stick to their resolution for a year if they avoid making vows such as I will quit or I will avoid, and instead say I will start. The world's largest ever study on New Year's resolutions tracked 1,066 people who made a promise at the end of 2017 for the approaching year. Less than half of people who said they would either quit or avoid something were successful by the end of the year. In contrast, 59% of people who had an approach goal were successful. Researchers of the study from Stockholm University say their results show forming a new good habit can help people quit an old bad one by replacing it. And the most popular resolutions were to do with physical health, weight loss, and change of eating habits. And did you know that the smartest people have the most willpower, and chimps are no different? Willpower is a sign of high intelligence, and a 2018 study found that some chimps have it. Just like in humans, the smartest chimps are typically better at exerting self-control and delaying gratification to receive a better reward later on.
Okay, I'm going to live in the trees then. You're up to date. The news is on the website, riveraradio.mc.